By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Purport. The association of a bona fide spiritual master, like the sage Maitreya, can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. The word rati-rasa is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows, relationships. Neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. A living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows, and when one is engaged in the transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, rasabharjaṁ rasopyasya param dristā navartate. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here you can feel Vidura's gratitude to Maitreya Muni. Vidura, don't forget, there's no doubt he's a fully transcendental person. Yet, he's approached Maitreya Muni to get instruction. This teaches us a good example that even in the highest levels of spiritual life, still a devotee likes to take guidance and instruction. There's no question of Vidura being lacking in any way. Yet, he respects Krishna's transcendental system. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, if you want to understand transcendental knowledge, then you approach a genuine conveyor of Krishna's instructions, who can guide you to apply Krishna's instructions in life. Vidura has asked Maitreya Muni very interesting questions, which lead to a profound understanding of the science of God, Bhagavad Dharma. To gain a deep understanding of the science of God is the responsibility of every human being. Our problem, though, as you know, our problem is that the present culture does everything to distract and even obliterate anyone's possibilities for understanding the spiritual science. What should be the natural birthright of the human form, transcendental understanding, is made impossible to achieve by the present culture, which is saturated with passion and ignorance. That is why we detach ourselves from such an environment. Not because of fanaticism or sectarianism or thinking we're better. No, it is self-preservation. Not only self-preservation, but also practical understanding for how to help others. If you want to help those who are burning in a fire, you have to come out of the fire. Then you can function properly. But as long as you're agonizing in the flames, what can you do for others? Will you call looking for a improved situation within the flames? Is that solving the problem? Okay, we're all burning, so let's see how we can enjoy while we're burning. No. The solution is to put out the flames to come out of the fire. And then to help others to come out of the fire. Our hearts grieve so much when we think of how people today are having their opportunity for spiritual realization totally yanked away from them. It is not possible for them to understand the science of God in such hellishly distracted circumstances in which their consciousness is being constantly bombarded by stimuli for their senses. This is what you're up against in trying to help yourself and trying to help others. People's heads are a blur. They cannot fix their consciousness on anything. I'll give you an example. Of course, I don't think you know about it here in New Zealand, but in Australia, like our brother Kurma, some years ago he had a very famous cooking show, Cooking with Kurma, which went nationwide in Australia. Did they ever show it in New Zealand? No, no. And because of that, many of his vegetarian cookbooks were sold. So his show was just a half hour demonstrating how to cook vegetarian things. Right now in Hamilton, Julian Yatra, he's started having vegetarian cooking classes, and 15 people came for the first one. I think he was charging them like $15. They all told him it was cheap. That just shows you when people want something, you know, that when they see it's something of value to their life, then they're always willing to pay. Anyway, the point is that just 6 or 7 years ago, Kurma made this famous series of cooking classes shown on nationwide television in Australia. So he recently contacted the network and asked, okay, are we ready for round two, another series of shows? And they told him, you know, times have changed so much in 6 or 7 years. You know, people now don't have the attention span to watch a half-hour cooking show. That's what the network heads told him. You know, your show was great 6, 7 years ago, but since then, people's attention span is so little, they can't just sit down and watch someone showing cooking for a half hour. They said, the way we have cooking shows now is it's immersed in like a lifestyle portrayal. They'll fly in some famous sports star or singer or movie star, and then they'll, you know, let's say have a 30-minute show. The first 10 minutes will be of the sports star or the movie star, you know, going to the shop and getting his cooking ingredients and talking to people along the way and, you know, chit-chatting. And then he gets his stuff, brings it back to his mansion, you know. And then the middle 10 minutes, that's where a cooking lesson is given. And in the last 10 minutes, you know, he's sitting with his mates and, you know, gorging and, you know, and talking about how they're going to go scuba diving or something like that. So the TV people said, this is the way, only way people can concentrate. You have to give them a kaleidoscope because they just can't sit and watch someone demonstrating cooking for a half hour on television. Their minds are too restless. So this is what you're dealing with. If we're going to be for real and deal with what's happening today, we have to understand that most people's minds are just totally a blur. The society that they live in has destroyed their favorable opportunities for achieving the goal of human life. Vidura is expressing gratitude to Maitreya Muni. You have explained all the answers to me. You've given me the answers to the cosmic riddles, such as how everything comes from Krishna, yet Krishna is not affected by his material energy. How, even though everything comes from Krishna, still he's perfect and complete. He never diminishes. These are profound questions that anyone interested in understanding Bhagavad Dharma, the science of God, has to deal with. Also, you remember the question by Vidura. How is it that pure soul gets entangled in the material body? How does that happen? Are the material miseries real or just illusory? Because if you're pure spirit soul, how is it that you can suffer material miseries? The answer, of course, is in a dream you suffer. In a hallucination you suffer. And you are subject to that dream, you're subject to that hallucination because of false identification. Accepting something to be you that you are not. Therefore you suffer. Ordinarily, there's no question of pure spirit soul receiving reactions from the material energy. But because of false identification, a dream-like existence, it appears that the spirit soul is suffering. As soon as we stop the identification with matter, as soon as we stop the identification, the false identification with the material self, then we can wake up from the dream and realize that the spirit soul exists in its own glory, separate from the dream. How do you separate yourself from the dream? Use the things in this dream world for Krishna's pleasure, and then you'll see reality. You'll see that even the dream is Krishna's energy. Now, although the dream is Krishna's energy, he doesn't want you to relate to him in that way. He wants you to relate to him through his spiritual energy, not the dream energy. But you get to that spiritual energy by acting properly in the dream. By using the things in the dream for Krishna's pleasure, you wake up and you can see the spiritual energy. So this is the mysticism of bhakti yoga. We don't say the world is false, even though it's a dream world. Dreams have existence. They have substance, although it's superficial. Still, dreams exist. So we do not say that the world is false. We say that the way people are living in this dream world is false. Their claim of human proprietorship is false. Yesterday I was talking to Sue about the professional protesters in New Zealand who, you know, whenever there's something to protest, the word goes out all over the country and they gather. I told her they never have a protest against sense gratification. She told me how most of the protesters live in Newtown, you know, and they have their hub there. And from there they are dispatched all over New Zealand to protest this, protest that. It's like a, you know, a lifestyle. Whatever the reason, you know, no war in Iraq to animal rights to anything, it's protest. I said, well, what's the goal of all this? Well, to make a better society. Well, what's the better society? I told her, invite them all here. We'll discuss revolution and change and utopia. She said, oh, I don't think they'll come here. But I said, well, she came here, Sue came here. Well, but I was always interested in Krishna consciousness. So, protest all you want, but this world will not change. You can do what you like, stand on your head, wave signs. It's not going to change. The same thing goes on again and again and again, generation after generation. Until you come to the position of Vidura, who is inquiring how to cut off my relationship with the dream world and how to reestablish myself in the spiritual energy, how to reestablish myself in Krishna consciousness. No protesting, no amount of adjustment will change the way this world operates. there'll always be suffering. That's why Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya dhratya mam eva ye prapanchante mayam etam charantite. Krishna tells you what's going on. He says, this material energy of mine, mama maya, it's my dream world. It's my energy. You can't overcome it. Not possible. You can protest, you can adjust, you can have the United Nations, or you can have anarchy. Sue told me most of the protesters are anarchists, yes? Yes. So, you can do whatever you like. This ism, that ism, democracy, or communism, or socialism, or capitalism. You can change it this way, change it that way. Still, daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dhratya. You cannot overcome the material energy. Only if you approach Krishna can there be a change. Mam eva ye prapanchante mayam etam charantite. That's the only way. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita. You can't overcome it by your efforts. The dream world, the illusion is too great. So why waste your life uselessly trying to adjust material things? Best you devote your efforts to things that will change, areas of your life that will change. Materially, you're not going to get more than what your karma allows, and you're not going to get less. Spiritually, though, everything is wide open for personal creativity. So why waste your life struggling to adjust things that will not change? We can follow the example of Vidura's questions and his relating to Maitreya Muni, just like yesterday, Vidura said, but my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance. Although it appears real, I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea. Theoretically, we can understand that this world is an illusion, but still we're not giving it up because we require practical experience of the spiritual reality. Vidura has the confidence that by rendering devotional service, all the material distresses will be vanquished. Unless your protest efforts are aimed at stopping the misidentification with the body and mind, there's going to be no improvement. You have to do two things at once with your life if you want to see some real change in this world, in your lifetime. You have to do two things. You have to detach yourself from matter and attach yourself to Krishna. Both things at once. You cannot just negate. There has to be positive attachment to something. The nature of consciousness is that it's always attached to something. In our original consciousness, we are attached to Krishna. In material life, the original spiritual attachment for Krishna becomes perverted, and we become attached to so many temporary material things. And we simply suffer because of that. Bhakti yoga involves those two components simultaneously. Detachment and attachment. You should analyze your spiritual life and see how those two components are present. If those two components are very vibrant in your individual spiritual life, then that's a good sign that you're doing nicely. There should be a vibrant sense of detachment from the illusion and a vibrant sense of attachment to Krishna. A vibrant sense of attachment to Krishna manifests as attachment for glorifying Krishna, hearing Krishna's glories and speaking Krishna's glories. That's the sign of a vibrant attachment to Krishna. And what is the sign of a vibrant detachment from matter? When you no longer look at the material world as existing for your pleasure, you see that it's an opportunity to engage in Krishna's service. So whatever you look at, you're simply thinking, how can I serve Krishna with this thing? That is a vibrant attitude of detachment. For myself, I don't want, but for Krishna's pleasure, how can this thing be used? Whether it's computers or graphic design or whatever, internet or projectors or musical instruments or a yoga center or whatever. How can it be used for Krishna's pleasure? That is a sign of vibrant detachment from the material world. We should envy the confidence of Vidura. He has no hesitation. I know what I'm doing. I know the result I'm going to get. Thank you so much, he's telling Maitreya Muni. I'm obliged to you. I'm obligated to you. Because through your instruction, I can understand. I'm confident that by serving you, I'll be able to give up the false idea of this world. The false idea of this world is that we think we are the proprietors. The protesters, the professional protesters, they never protest against the idea that human beings are proprietors of this world. Sometimes people get sentimental and they become absorbed in, you know, save the whales or save this species or save that species. You can see a sense of, like a pseudo sense of detachment in those kind of campaigns, because basically what they're saying is, let's not center everything upon human beings. Suppose other species also can be in the spotlight. So there's a sense of detachment in a very slight way that's people feel a bit refreshed by that. We're not going to think about human beings. We're going to think about the whales, or we're going to think about another endangered species. But what we are saying is to completely rise above the concept that human beings are the proprietors of this world. But just because human beings are not the proprietors of this world doesn't mean that we should turn our backs on the world. You know, like little kids, maybe when you were a little kid, if you didn't get your own way, you were playing with your playmates, you didn't get your own way, so you just said, okay, I'm not playing, I'm going home. Any of you ever do that? If it can't be my way, forget it, I'm going home. So sometimes human beings say, well, if we can't be the proprietors of this world, then forget it. We don't care about it. Devotees of Krishna are not like that. We have rejected the concept of human proprietorship over the world, but we are very eager to use the world for the purpose it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. This is a bit puzzling to people sometimes. They hear us speak strongly about the material illusion and rejecting it. At the same time, they see we're so active and eager to use everything for Krishna's pleasure. The point is, we have not rejected the world, we've just recognized it for what it is. And we're making the best use of a bad bargain. We want to capture Vidura's feeling of confidence. I'm confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea. In other words, I'll progress from theoretical understanding to actual experience through the process of bhakti yoga, which involves rendering service to the transcendental senses of the Lord. And in today's verse, he goes on presenting that emotional conviction. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead. So he's making these emotional assertions. He's realized, he's experienced, he's not theoretical, he's not a religious believer. He's got rock solid experience of the spiritual world. We want to train our intelligence to be attracted to understanding Krishna. When you understand Krishna, then you'll easily give up the false idea of this world as your place for proprietorship. Understanding Krishna means understanding Krishna's purpose for why there is this world, why this world goes on. Any intelligent person understands, I need an overview in order to decide how to make the moves in my life. Without an overview, how can you do anything? You don't know what the whole scheme is that you're acting within. You just live life disjointedly from one bizarre circumstance to another. And in between is a lot of humdrum, routine boredom. Routine, humdrum, boredom, and lots of bizarre circumstances. That's what characterizes everyone's life. If you get an overview of the cosmic reality, an overview of your individual existence, then you'll be able to scheme and make a plan. But how can you make a proper plan if you simply think, I am this body? Or you might say, well, I know I'm spiritual, but you have no idea what that means to be spiritual. It's very hard to speak these messages in an atmosphere of social degradation, because people don't have the brains to concentrate, but still we're going on. Knowing that if we simply present the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, if we present the science of Krishna as it is, the Lord is present in such discussions of his glories, discussions of his knowledge. He's personally present. And because he's personally present whenever his glories are discussed, there is purification. Please think about this. How are you going to get an overview on your life? How can we arrange environments where people can think deeply about what the purpose of life is? Srila Prabhupada's books assist the thinking process. They spiritualize the thinking process so that the ultimate goal of life is easily achieved. If we put our hearts into devotional service, then we'll get this conviction and confidence that Vidura has. This is what we want, that conviction and confidence. I know some of you, many of you, you work so hard in Krishna consciousness, you put all your energies into it. I wonder sometimes, well, they're young in spiritual stature. How is it that they're doing, working so hard, trying to do so many things? By that effort of sacrifice in Krishna's service, Krishna becomes revealed to you. That's why Vidura is eager to render service. He says, I'm confident that by serving your feet, it's possible for me to give up the false idea. What is the false idea? The false idea is not that this world exists. That's not false. The dream world exists, although it's just a dream. You know, when you have a dream at night, that was something. It's just not the reality you want. Do you recognize that when you so-called wake up in the morning, you just enter another dream phase? Daydream, night dream. Waking up truly means to realize you are spirit soul and you have nothing to do with the material phases of time or material phases of physiological development of the body. You have nothing to do with that. That's really waking up. Any questions? Yes.
If you're saying the devotees try to detach themselves from material existence, but I found that, before I said, devotees more or less expect, when I tell them what I'm trying to do, they expect me to get a job and work in karma job.
It depends on who you talk to. I don't tell you that. Everyone here knows what the system is. We offer you a chance to be all you can be, and we observe what level the water wants to seek, and what style the water wants to exhibit. We don't artificially make people into renunciates, nor do we artificially make people into make them adopt lifestyles they don't want. Some don't want to be immersed in work life, education life. Some are effective in that way. So without making judgment either way, we look to see what is most appropriate for the individual. Some are very practically adapted to a life of being like a full-time missionary. We have persons here like that. They find satisfaction in that. Now, you've been around long enough to see that. They certainly are busy, right? But they're just busy in a different way. Mm-hmm. When you went to the university, you were busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Jeff goes to work, he's busy. So it's just different kinds of busyness, which all have the same goal if everyone is doing their activities for the pleasure of Krishna. If you're going to be like a full-time staff member of a mission in Krishna consciousness, well, that's also work. It's a very demanding career. And the more expert you get at it, the more you'll be like a power, you know, a PowerPoint with like, you know, so many plugs stuck into you. So that's work, that's a career, that's a job. What is the salary? Love of Krishna. So we have some here who are like that. Their thing is, you know, just full-time rendering of missionary service. But not that everybody can do that, nor is it the best for everyone. It's very demanding to work with others all the time in a community-type situation. Community life isn't for everyone. Whether it's a rural community or an urban community, it's not for everyone. So we try to see what the individual can handle. So no, we don't generalize here. Everyone knows we have never generalized for we always try to see what's best for the individual person. How can that individual, based on his or her conditioning and past, how can that person apply Krishna consciousness? This is a place for lifestyle engineering. Lifestyle management. So we're training up some persons who will have as their career, they'll be lifestyle enhancers. A lifestyle enhancer knows how to teach you how to engineer your lifestyle so that you can smoothly become Krishna conscious based on where you're at, according to your conditioning and your material past. We don't generalize. And for, I noticed, for at least 50% of the persons who partake of the facilities here, it takes them about 2 years for their heads to kind of clear out and to get to the point where they can make a proper decision about which way they want to go. It's not like automatic, you know? I want to do like this, I want to do like that. Honestly, many have to wait a couple of years, you know, to actually clear out a bit or get more in touch with who they are, to find out who they are in terms of their propensities and how much commitment they really have. It's very easy to come here and just mouth some slogans. Of course, we're not fooled by that either, you know. Hare Krishna, yeah. Everything for Krishna. Surrender everything. Give up everything. The world is Maya. The world is illusion. Drop it. Very easy to say like that. But let's see how much you actually want to walk the talk. That's what we watch for here. There's different levels of appetites, you know. I myself have made a personal choice, but I don't expect everyone to take up my style of living. Although it's true that you come into this world with nothing, you leave with nothing. No arrangements last in this world. In other words, if you marry, you're entering into a situation in which you're going to have to give up it's just a matter of time. So does some of us figure, why enter into something you're only going to have to give up later? But many require that, you know, experience to go through. So we say, okay, here's a way you can go through that experience with the opposite sex in Krishna consciousness in a way that you'll be purified. So we don't expect everyone to be a monk or a nun. It's like I was telling the ladies yesterday that, you know, it's a fact that 99% of ladies, they're going to marry. And you know, that's the way it is. So. But if they can at least appreciate that during their ashram days, they were happy. If they can look back, in the future, they can look back on their ashram days and think, oh, those were the happiest days of my life. Then our mission has been successful. You know, ladies have that tendency. You know, they want a family, they want a man to control his mind, you know, and that's the natural desire of ladies, you know. They don't feel, most of them, you know, they don't feel right unless there's, you know, these things are there. A home and a mind to toy with. And so we talk about reality a lot and how you can practice Krishna consciousness based on where you're really at. And of course, the way it is these days, ladies marry later and later in life. So that's the social scene these days. So we go with the flow. Okay. Not into it now? All right. No problem. Put your energies fully into missionary service, and then, who knows, in the future, when you're 35 or 40 or something. That's the way it is these days. The important thing is that you become Krishna conscious and be realistic about your desires, your expectations. And it's a fact, most men will marry. But whether they do it right away or later, that's another thing. There will be a few who really want to be brahmacharis. So then we ask them, be a real brahmachari. Don't just put on saffron cloth and not have a spirit of full dedication. better to work a job, live in your own flat or share a flat with others, than to be a pretender, putting on saffron, but actually not being fully absorbed in devotional service. Many temples are like that. They, you know, so-called brahmacharis, who, you know, not living a very progressive or constructive life. It's just a materially convenient thing to, you know, live in an ashram and have someone else make all your decisions for you. You may notice we don't do that around here. We're always pushing the burden on you. What are you going to do? Where are you at? What realistically can you aspire for? How much are you willing to invest in your life? Don't just look at me, I'm going to look at you. What are you going to do about it? I can't live your life. I might, you know, I would love to reduce your suffering if, you know, yeah, if I could live your life and reduce your suffering, I'd love to do that, but I can't. I've got to get you to do something about your own life. So I don't think you, I don't think around here you've heard that, that everyone's telling you. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Here you probably know it's the wait and see attitude, right? Yeah, yeah. Let's see how things work out, you know. Someone wants to be a, at least for a few years, you want to be fully absorbed in welfare activities for others, fine. Whether it's for a few years or your whole life. But we have many ladies here who are fully absorbed in helping others. Even when they're married, they can go on like that. Here we're teaching you to make the best of your life, regardless of what situation you're in. Single, married, working, not working, make the best of your life in Krishna consciousness. So if you desire to, you know, absorb yourself in missionary activities in a very renounced way, okay. Or if you desire to, you know, work and go to more school, okay, we'll figure out a way how it can be productive, spiritually productive. It's like you have Adrian here now. He specializes in working hard in his house painting business all, you know, for 9 months out of the year, and then for 3 months out of the year he goes around the world with me. So that's his thing. Yeah, he's a businessman, you know, he does, you know, running his own business, he's successful having his own small business, and, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's going to kind of just kind of, you know, hang out in a temple that's not well managed and just wait for everybody to make his decisions. Right? About his style. But he is serious about Krishna consciousness. He's been happy now because he's been alone in Auckland on a marathon with his business, and he successfully kept his Krishna consciousness together for quite a few months, so he's feeling good about himself. But from the ordinary point of view, you had a, you know, the past years, you had a life that's the envy of anyone, right? How many of your mates do you know go around the world twice to all these exotic places, you know, 2 years in a row? Something most people don't do in a lifetime. So we try to see how the individual can be effective in his or her spiritual growth. So we don't apply these broad strokes of the paintbrush to everyone, you know, Everybody work. Everybody live in the ashram. Everybody be brahmacharis. Everyone marry. We just don't do that. We try to see what the individual is capable of and mold everything to that. This is lifestyle engineering. Exciting new field. So I'm training lifestyle specialists who can deal with people in that way. Okay, put all the slogans aside and let's see, what do you really want to do in Krishna consciousness? You know, put all the rah-rah talk aside and how much are you really going to sacrifice? Let's be honest. And so we try to show you how, based on your level of aspiration, you can still make spiritual progress. How does that sound? Yeah. So we have to discuss how you'd be effectively engaged in Krishna service based on your propensities, your attitudes, your level of intensity, how much you want to sacrifice for others. Some people here, their lives are completely dedicated to others. Maybe you're not able to see that yet, but some people here, their lives are completely dedicated to others. That's a thankless task sometimes. It's not that everybody, you know, appreciates, oh, thank you so much for trying to help me. No, a lot of times there's no reciprocation at all. Still, we go on trying. A few want to do that their whole life. Others are going to do it for some years. Either way, it's all right. Just like in the armed forces, you have some people who enlist for a few years and some people who are career persons. Either way, we appreciate the contribution of both types. Other questions?
Why is it that sometimes when we make a change, even though we had so much help by the spiritual master guides and the body association, we sometimes thought that we still have some time to change in our consciousness?
It will change, just be patient. It always seems like that. Oh, I try, but it's not possible. It does change. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Instruction, says, Utsaha Nischa Dharya, enthusiasm, that means, oh, I want to change, combined with patience and determination. It will happen. You're certainly not like the person I met 10 years ago. Wasn't that a change? I have to get her to take up some responsibility and assert herself. It's impossible. Just to get her to, you know, speak in public or sing in public was a huge ordeal. That was her idea, I guess, of spiritual life. You just don't assert yourself in any way. Stay in the background. That's a material conception of spiritual life. Spiritual life means everything for Krishna's pleasure. Even assertion can be for Krishna's pleasure. So I begged her, I said, your fellow women, they're suffering so much. They're so much abused in the name of their freedom. Please help them. generally ladies, you know, even when they're competent to lead other ladies, they don't want to because it's not an easy job. So I asked you to do that, and certainly it was often a thankless task, but gradually one relishes the taste of sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure. One temple president in England was asking me, what to do with you? All the ladies, I mean, we just can't find any lady leaders. He said, how is it that you have some lady leaders? I said, I don't know. I just tell them, I can't do it. Will you please do it? I just beg them, please, take care of your, fellow ladies. I can't do it. There's a desire to change and improve for Krishna's service. Krishna will always help, but we have to be patient. I was thinking the same thing this morning. What changes can I make to be more effective for Krishna's pleasure in this last phase of my life? How can I make the last phase of my life most effective for Krishna's pleasure? That is the reality. Life is short, so we should be very careful to use our time properly. The great wonder in this world is that people don't think the end is going to come. Because of our Krishna conscious lifestyle, naturally we feel younger and look younger, but still, this body will drop. I was walking around in Santiago, Chile last month. I went on a walk after Mangalarti every morning at 5 a.m. I would do a brisk half hour walk. And I was going with a devotee who's like 20 years old. He was accompanying me. So as we walked by one I thought was an elderly man, he definitely was elderly. We walked by him and he said in Spanish, good morning, young fellows. he looked to be about my age, But he said, good morning, young fellows. I know devotees look different in terms of their age because of if they've been free from sinful activity, it does reduce the effects of age. Another time, what was it? Where was I? In Perth. Whenever I go to Perth, I go to the local swimming pool to exercise. And all of a sudden, I notice that if you're over 50, you pay half price. So I said to the lady, well, how come you never told me that? You're not over 50. Yes, I am. I said, I'm 52. How are you? You're not. I don't believe that. I said, you've been overcharging me. You see that, Every day I get people trying to scam on me. All right, tomorrow I'm bringing my ID. So the next day I brought my driver's license. I can't believe it. Well, the fact is, we may feel young and we may feel spiritually enlivened, but still the body has its end. So therefore I've been praying to Krishna, how can I use this last phase of my life most appropriately for your pleasure? I just don't want to do the things I like to do. There's that tendency that creeps in. as you get older, okay, I've been there, done that, now it's time to do what suits me. Even in Krishna consciousness, I don't want to do that. So my conclusion is that if in some way I can do something to help rescue these people who are suffering in cities so much, that would be fitting. It's true that the way the culture and society is now, it has made a very impossible environment for people to become, to approach Krishna consciousness with any kind of soberness and deliberation. People's minds are destroyed, their bodies are destroyed. Somehow or other, though, we've got to figure out how to give them some access to Krishna consciousness. It's quite boggling because the science of Bhagavad Dharma, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for the cream of philosophers. It's meant for the cream of mystic yogis. And here we are presenting this to the, you know, the wild of the wildest today. It seems so contradictory. What will solve the contradiction? The personal efforts of the devotees that will bridge the gap. Otherwise, not possible. Now, if any of you want to help in this kind of lifetime work, okay, I'm always ready to accept volunteers. Anything else? Yes?
Good idea, so I think honestly that I have Zoas. So I have if we actually have been honest with ourselves and try to analyze our own material spiritual desires, have no breakthrough.
Well, you have to discuss it. Discuss it with your guru, you discuss it with others, and get a perspective on yourself. See how much you're actually able to achieve what you expect of yourself. It's like you might have thought you wanted to be single all your life, but it's quite obvious that, you know, you've been more productive married. I remember when I realized you'd be more productive married. I think you were very sick, and did you have pneumonia or something? You went to the hospital, or asthma, and you went to the hospital or something, and you had ice cream? Yoga. I said, I gotta get someone for him to take care of him. You're in the hospital with asthma, right? And he was taking yogurt, which cooled the body. I said, this is Krishna showing me I have to find someone to take care of him. To live a single life all your life, you gotta be a bit rugged. It's a very demanding life to be truly single all your life. You have to be a bit self-sufficient emotionally. But in your case, it appears that, you know, you got a good deal, you know, in terms of productivity. Thank your lucky stars. Hope they all work out like that one did. So you have to discuss Some people like being put in the deep end of the pool. There's some people who do better in that way. Not everybody, though. Some like to start off at the shallow end and gradually go down to the deep end. Some just stay at the shallow end. Some go out to the middle of the pool. We want to encourage everyone's level of progress without discouraging anyone. It's like you're able to live very simply, even though you're married. Not every household is going to be able to do that. They won't feel comfortable in those circumstances. So it's all individual. Generally, householders, you know, they want a house to hold. And the man is supposed to work for it. Well, the lady, these days, the lady wants to work for it too. So, you know, it would be artificial to expect everyone who marries to live like you. It's just, you know, you and your wife apparently feel comfortable living in this way. At least you do, huh? She does for a while. But we can't expect every married couple to emulate you. And you'd be very foolish to ask that they do. But you're effective because you're living where you're at. This is, you know, it's working for you. So that's what we're trying to do, find out what works for each individual. Is it working for you, Kidura? Yes, she said yeah. Okay. But you know, generally it's not going to be like that. Anything else? Yes? Humility doesn't mean that you are not eager for opportunities to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna means also serving Krishna's devotees. So you can be assertive about serving Krishna's devotees. So assertive about your right to serve others. That's humility. Assertive about your right to sacrifice for others. A devotee is very attached to his or her right to render service to others. Because by that service, as Vidura is saying, he said, I'm confident that by that service it will be possible for me to give up the false idea about the material manifestation. And also, by that service, Krishna becomes captured. So you can be very assertive about your opportunities for serving others. You said when you were a teenager, you were dreamed of being a nurse on the battlefield in Ethiopia or something like that. Well, now you have your chance to be a nurse on in the urban battlefield. Used to visualize yourself like helping doctors sew pieces of people's bodies back together and blown up in a war or something. Is that it? Well, now you can help sew people's lives back together which have been shattered and devastated by so much sinful activity. And even though they're so devastated, they still can't give up the activities that caused the devastation in their life. That's a horrible thing to see. Yeah. Any else? See if someone else. Mark?
luckily enough, and elevate ourselves from suffering with our desire strong to
can
we elevate ourselves above the suffering with our desire strong
above
the suffering of the body. My body suffering at the moment has been
you're not even an old man yet. Wait a few more years. The fun has only begun.
I realize that. So my desire is to be strong and elevated even outside my karma. My karma is why I'm suffering, isn't it? My long karma, you know.
If you absorb yourself in devotional service, then you can rise above your conditioning. You just have to be very serious about it. Otherwise, we'll figure out a way you can serve Krishna in spite of your conditioning. But if you really want to try to rise above your conditioning, that takes some effort.